People today are looking for security. In an age of financial instability, fears of health epidemics, terrorist attacks, people want to know that they're safe. And for this reason, the insurance industry has grown into one of the largest businesses in the world. Trillions of dollars are spent every year to protect our health, our wealth, our cars, and our homes. One of the best known of these companies assures us that if we buy their insurance, we're in good hands. I can't talk as low as the guy on TV. I wish I had his voice, but you know what I'm talking about. But you know, even with the best insurance, we're still not guaranteed to be out of harm's way completely. All the money of the world cannot buy another breath when we come to the end of our lives. The best homeowner's insurance cannot stop fire or floods or storms from destroying our houses. Even the most defensive driver can become the victim of someone else's negligence. So, where do we find true security? Where do we find protection in our lives? Solomon shares in Proverbs chapter 2, if we really want to be in good hands, we need to be in God's hands. So turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs, the second chapter. This chapter begins with the pursuit of wisdom in verses 1 through 5. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Those five verses actually comprise one sentence. I think our English teachers among us would say that's a run-on sentence. But you'll see that it's a conditional statement. Two of the most important words you'll ever find in the Bible are very small. They're the words if and then. And you see that here. If you accept my words and store up my commands within you. If you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding. If you look for it as for silver and search for it as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If certain conditions are met, then these consequences will follow. And what this tells us is that there's nothing automatic about wisdom. We often associate wisdom with age and experience, but that's not necessarily the case. There are people who go through their whole lives and are none the wiser because they don't learn. And here we're told that there are certain steps that need to be taken if we want to gain wisdom. Chuck Swindoll points out, getting wisdom is a mutual effort. It's a matter of working together with God to pull off a wise lifestyle. God doesn't deliver wisdom to our door like the morning paper. It doesn't come in a neat little package like cold milk used to. It's there sitting waiting to be opened. It's a result of a cooperative effort. Now, as with anything worthwhile in life, gaining wisdom comes at a cost. But it's not a cost that you can measure in dollars and cents. What is required is a single-hearted devotion to discovering and doing what is right. Notice the verbs here: accept, store up, turn, apply, call out, cry aloud, look, and search. These if statements that Solomon makes shows the importance of our choices. We must choose to seek after God. We must choose to look into His truth and to gain wisdom from it. We're instructed to do our part in seeking wisdom in order to reap the promised results. And when we do, God grants wisdom as a gift for those who truly seek it. He bestows knowledge and understanding. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." That's a promise from God. If we realize that we lack wisdom for our lives, and we ask God for it, He will provide it. That's a promise that we have. But what must we do in our pursuit of wisdom? First, we need to admit that we don't already have it ourselves. That's an important first step. There are many people who think they're wise in their own eyes. I got it all together. I don't need that stuff. Everything's just fine. But the truly wise individual begins realizing he ain't wise. We don't already have it. It's not something born within us. We need to admit that. And secondly, we must ask God to provide His divine wisdom and insight for our lives. But there's more to it than just asking. According to this passage, we must apply ourselves to this pursuit like we're searching for hidden treasure. It has to be important to us. It needs to be a high priority in our lives. We can't just have a very casual pursuit and expect to gain wisdom. Warren Wiersbe states, "Obtaining spiritual wisdom isn't a once-a-week hobby. It is a daily discipline of a lifetime. And in our age of microwave ovens, fast foods, numerous made-easy books, many people are out of the habit of the daily investment of time and energy, digging deep into the Scripture and learning wisdom from the Lord. Thanks to television, our attention spans are very short these days. Thanks to religious entertainment that passes for worship, their spiritual appetite is feeble. Their spiritual knowledge isn't pleasant to their soul. It's no wonder fewer and fewer people take time to be holy, and more people fall prey to the enemies that lurk along the way." What we're looking for is wisdom for daily living, a platform on which right decision-making is based. And this needs to be based on solid knowledge, not just in what feels best. See, feelings come and go. Feelings change a lot, but truth doesn't. And the truth of God's Word stays the same. And so we can base our lives on the truth of His Word, and we will be wiser. John Stott comments in his book, Your Mind Matters. "Knowledge is indispensable for Christian life and service. If we do not use the mind that God has given us, we condemn ourselves to spiritual superficiality. We cut ourselves off from many of the riches of God's grace. At the same time, knowledge is given to be used to lead us to higher worship, greater faith, deeper holiness, and better service. What we need is not less knowledge, but more knowledge, so long as we act upon it." And that last phrase is very important. Because wisdom is not simply the amassing of knowledge. It's not just the gaining of facts and information. Wisdom is putting all that to work. Wisdom is knowing how God's Word applies each day of my life and the decisions that I'm confronted with. And we gain this access through the Word of God. The discernment for our daily lives comes from our personal exposure to the Word. Hebrews 5:14 refers to the mature Christian who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Notice it takes work and not occasional use. constant use. I mean, it's one thing if you want to exercise and maybe get in a little better shape. If you go once every 3 weeks, it's probably not going to happen. It has to become a regular part of our lives and our routine. The same is true in gaining spiritual knowledge and wisdom. It involves more than just reading a select passage of Scripture every day. We need to interact with what we read. We need to apply the Word to our lives and the situations we face. It gets into those old practices of meditating on God's Word, which we'll be talking about in this evening's message. Spending time in prayer. Spending time digesting the truth and then going out and putting it into practice. Really comes down to how much do we want wisdom? Are we humble enough to admit that we don't have all the answers ourselves? That we need to rely on God's word for wisdom? Are we willing to devote the time and the effort it takes to discover the truth of God's word and then to apply it to our lives? Now, second, we see here in Proverbs the provider of wisdom. And it's very clear, God is the provider of wisdom. While it is true that wisdom may be defined as the right understanding of reality and the basis for our moral and ethical life, there's more to it than that. You see, when we seek wisdom, we'll find God. Because God is the source of wisdom. He is the provider of wisdom. The knowledge of God means more than just an intellectual opinion about God. It encompasses how we live, how we discern between right and wrong. Look at verse 9. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. We'll find true knowledge, the fear of the Lord, which means we start taking Him seriously, and the knowledge of God, which means we'll get to know Him more intimately. You see, the reason that one who seeks wisdom and knowledge finds God is that God is the source of wisdom and knowledge. Moreover, God has stored up wisdom as protection for His saints, as we're going to see in a moment. The word that's translated victory in this text means sound wisdom. The Septuagint, which is a later Greek translation of the Old Testament, renders it salvation. It's the ideas of sound wisdom and its effects. God holds it in store for His saints. He provides it for us. But as we have seen, it takes humility to admit that somebody other than ourselves is the source of our wisdom. We want to think that we've got it all together. We can figure it all out on our own. We don't need any help from anybody. I often think of a child, maybe, 4 or 5 years old, just learning how to tie his shoes. Yeah, I know in these days of Velcro, that's kind of gone by the wayside. Showing my age. But I've seen so many times where, families get ready to go. Maybe they're running a little close on time. And here's little Johnny tying his shoes. And, it takes him forever. And, it didn't work that time, And mom or dad comes along and says, here, let me tie those for you. We got to get going. Nope, I can do it myself. Right? They get into 14 knots. And then they say, here, fix this. How many times do we do that in our lives? Oh, God, I've got this. And we make a mess of things, and then we say, oh, God, help me out here, right? We want to do it ourselves. We think we've got it all together. God says, just bring it to me. Let me show you. And think about all of the frustration. Think about the grief that we sometimes bring upon ourselves because we don't take it to God. Prayer becomes a last resort instead of a first response. I think of the words of that classic hymn, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear." Why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You know? We tell God, "I've got this," and he's got to just sit in heaven and laugh. He'll shake his head and say, "Yeah, you'll be here eventually." But we could save us a lot of time and frustration if we just go to him first. Now, we see the bulk of the chapter, verses 9 through 22, is devoted to the protection of wisdom. Verse 8 kind of introduces this thought. He guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Life is dangerous. And it's wise to listen to the counsel of God and of godly people who've walked the path before us. And for those who seek God, he stores up wisdom for daily living. He gives us a shield of protection as we walk in integrity. And how does that happen? Look at verse 11. Discretion will protect you. Understanding will guard you. It will keep us from going down the wrong paths. 50, 60 years ago, people would talk about having a bad trip, which usually had to do with some kind of drugs. But we've ventured on many a bad trip in our lives, haven't we? Even if it wasn't with some substance to get us there. We make wrong choices. We make bad decisions. Wisdom protects us from that. Discretion keeps us. I read somewhere that good choices come from experience, and experience comes from bad choices. And oftentimes that's true. You know, we hopefully learn from our mistakes, and then we don't do it again. How much better it is to not make the mistake in the first place, right? And if we would seek God's wisdom and live by it, we would spare ourselves a lot of the lessons in the school of hard knocks. We wouldn't put ourselves in that position if we would allow wisdom to do its protecting work. And yet we still see, even among Christians, we fall. We find ourselves victims of our own choices. And it's a very dangerous way to live, simply to satisfy our desires, to do what we want. It'll often lead us to defeat and misery. Our lives fall apart when we do not involve the Lord in our decision making. Now, Solomon describes two ways that wisdom protects us. Look at verse 12. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight ways and walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Then down verses 16 through 19, it will save you also from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain to the paths of life. Crooked men, wicked women, those are the dangers that lurk in our world and seek to steal our souls. Everywhere we turn, we're faced with them, enticing us, inviting us to come along with them. What are two of the most powerful temptations today? Greed and sensuality. And Solomon describes those right there. Greedy men, a sensual woman. And not that you can't have the opposite, it works both ways. He just uses that as an illustration here. Even for Christians, these two tug at our sinful nature. And they will drag us down if we let them. That's why we need the protection of wisdom. We live in a world that is dominated by Satan. He would love to destroy us, and by sinful people who would love to defile us. The odds are really stacked against us if we try to face our foes by ourselves. But if we have God, we have more than enough. He provides us His power and His wisdom for those who would receive them and put them to use. And then down in verse 20 through 22, thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, but the blameless and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land and the unfaithful will be torn from it. It's obvious from even a casual reading of the Proverbs that the protective influence of the Word of God comes as a result of diligent, prayerful, purposeful intake of Scripture. To guard our minds, we must give priority to the Bible. We must not only look at it for spiritual information, but applying it daily in our lives. And again, this is not going to happen in an hour or so on Sunday morning. The pursuit of wisdom requires commitment, dedication, sometimes just plain old hard work. There's a price to pay if we want to gain spiritual wisdom, but there's an even greater price if we don't gain it. We must come to the provider of wisdom if we expect to receive it. We won't find wisdom in the advice columns in the newspaper, the horoscopes, even our best friend's advice. True wisdom comes from God, and we must rely upon Him. He has revealed His wisdom in His Word. Sometimes our Christian brothers and sisters can provide helpful suggestions along the way, but it's only true wisdom if it's aligned with what Scripture says. When we do this, we're going to come to enjoy the protection of wisdom. As we saw in an earlier message, instead of going the route of live and learn from our mistakes, how much better it is to learn and then live. To not have to graduate from the school of hard knocks. To not have to live our lives saying, oh, if I had only listened. Oh, if I hadn't gone that path. If I could do it all over again, I'd do it differently. God gives us a chance ahead of time to prepare ourselves for those choices that we make the right ones. And that's what it means to live under the protection of wisdom. It's like insurance for the soul. In another book, Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 9:1, so I reflected on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hands. That's better than being in good hands with Allstate. That's being in God's hands, and there's no better place to be. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, you have not only given us life, but you have given us an owner's manual for daily living, so to speak. You have given us your word. You have given us insight and understanding, knowledge, and wisdom. I pray that we would acknowledge that we don't have it all together ourselves, that we need to hear from you. We need your truth. And then I pray that as we apply ourselves to learn from your word, we would not only gain knowledge, but we would truly gain wisdom. To know how to put the knowledge to work. Every place we go, every decision that confronts us, every temptation that haunts us, that through your word and your spirit, you would guide us in the right paths. That you would protect us from the harm that is awaiting us and that oftentimes we bring upon ourselves. I pray that you would guide us and direct us on a daily basis as we look to you as our wisdom and as our understanding. Go with us now. May we be marked by your wisdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.